It's fair to say that Brexit has been an absolute mess, claiming two prime ministers for nothing gained whatsoever. The newest Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, faced his first sitting week in the House of Commons, which is already being dubbed the most tumultuous week in modern British political history. With mass expulsions and resignations from his own party, can Boris Johnson figure a way out of the Brexit quagmire? Toby Hemmings has more.
Playing games.
What I think you're people want us games. To do is to leave the European Union on well, October 31st.
It's fair to say Boris Johnson's first week in Parliament as Prime Minister hasn't gone exactly to
Where's
plan.
Where's the negotiation going on? Where is it? You're hitting Morley in Leeds. You should be in Brussels leading the British people to negotiate against leaving the European Union.
Well, unfortunately. You're playing.
In a dramatic first week, Boris Johnson announced that he was proroguing Parliament for 4 weeks, lost his parliamentary majority, and expelled 21 members of his own Conservative Party. These expulsions were punishment for voting against a no-deal Brexit. Emeritus Professor of Politics at the University of Adelaide, Clement McIntyre.
By removing the party whip from 21 members of his party, and particularly some of the names of the people that were involved, very senior figures in the party, it's clear that the current government has upped the stakes very considerably. They have determined that, to use his own expression, for better or worse, do or die, Britain should leave the European Union on the 31st of October.
Indeed, Johnson has been pushing October 31st as the hard date for Brexit, telling reporters earlier this week...
And would you I'd rather be
dead in a ditch.
Professor Clement McIntyre.
Johnson has made it axiomatic that his leadership will lead to that outcome, that do or die, he will take Britain out on the 31st of October and he will not countenance any calls for an extension.
Johnson has been pushing for a snap election on October 15 to consolidate his mandate, but the Labor opposition has not been eager to jump into an election too soon.
It's in Labor's perceived interest to wait till after the 31st of October. That appears, in a sense, to embarrass Johnson because he won't have succeeded in the one unambiguous claim that he made, and that the Brexit vote will split. Labor's best interests are waiting for an election till after the 31st of October. So that's why they are suddenly sitting up now and saying, yes, we want an election, but we don't trust you, they're saying. We don't trust you if we just gave you the right to call an election now. And you said the 15th of October to us in Parliament. We simply don't trust you, Prime Minister, that you would not then turn around and recommend a different date to the Queen.
Johnson's gambit and Labour's reluctance to play along speaks to who the British public blames for this seemingly endless Brexit situation. Professor Clement McIntyre.
The public are extremely frustrated at the antics in Parliament. The question is, who are they blaming for that? Are they blaming the government for pushing the matter in the way that they have, bringing things to a head, or are they blaming the opposition, the collective opposition, the so-called Rebel Alliance, that have got in the way of the government? And if the answer is that they're blaming the opposition, then that ultimately won't damage the Boris Johnson administration all that much. The opinion polls are suggesting that the Conservative Party support is fairly stable at the moment in the mid-30s, somewhere between 33 and 35. The latest opinion poll that I saw this morning showed that Labor's actually dropping back a couple of points. The Lib Dems have come up a couple of points and Brexit's up one. So, look, we never know these things, but those who are watching it most closely, I think... are of the view that if Johnson can galvanise the Brexit vote and bring that all into the Conservative fold, and he'll do that by showing his seriousness about the no deal, he'll, in a sense, outflank the Brexit Party and take away their raison d'etre, then the Conservative Party are likely to come back as the largest party in the next Parliament.
Today, Boris Johnson flew to Ireland to meet with the Irish Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, for discussions about the border between Northern Ireland and Ireland. The border has become a pivotal part of negotiations, with Ireland seeking an open border as a backstop to prevent the return of the troubles that a hard Irish border has created in the past. Professor Clement McIntyre.
I think both sides would genuinely do their best to limit the sense of enforcement that they apply to that border in terms of checkpoints and border staff, building physical barriers across the roads and so on, because this would just be a red rag to Irish nationalists who vowed that they would not tolerate the division of the island of Ireland in that way. And so both sides are fearful that it would provoke an end to the Good Friday Agreement, which has largely brought peace to Northern Ireland for the last 20-odd years.
It seems that the only thing that is clear in this Brexit situation is that there is a lot left to figure out in the next 53 days before the October 31st deadline.
Toby Hemmings there with that update on the state of Brexit, and I think you should stay tuned for more on that.